You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
Welcome back to Dana and Parks. And I'm telling you, when we have good news to share, it makes me so excited and so happy. And I opened the socials this morning and saw something on Facebook, and I immediately texted Sam. I immediately reached out to our good friend. I said, congratulations. One of our very good friends of the program has been named a 2026 Kansas City Regional Teacher of the Year. And we're going to go to the hotline right off the top because she is traveling right now. And we are thrilled for you, Diane Houston, and for making time for us today.
Thanks for having me. I'm glad to be able to call in, even though I'm in a different time zone altogether.
You were like, what time is it there? I'm like, I don't know. You know, I don't do time zones. Girl, how did you even find this out? This is incredible.
Thank you. So yeah, I got an email. So I was just heading out to go grab some dinner, and you know, I'm in Italy right now and they eat pretty late. And I've been planning this trip for a couple of years. And so I was sitting on my friend's patio, like overlooking the Tuscan countryside. And I just happened to go, I should probably check my work email in the middle of this trip.
Oh yeah.
And I just, this is my reaction. I mean, I saw it, you know, come through and I just said, oh no, oh no. Oh God. Like I was very surprised. And then I went inside and maybe poured myself a glass of white wine. Maybe.
Good for you.
Because I was just shocked. I was shocked.
So prestigious. Exciting. So being selected as a regional winner obviously makes you a contender for the overall Missouri Teacher of the Year. Right. Winners gain a platform to advocate for educational issues, share best practices, mm-hmm. obviously community recognition. Do you know how the nominating process worked and who nominated you?
Well, so I won at the district level. So I'm a teacher in the Grandview School District.
Yeah.
And so every year we have every building in our district. So this goes for Lee Summit, Belton, everybody.
Got it.
They all nominate, or they all have their own process, but they nominate, you know, school, like for each school gets their own like teacher of the year. And then they compete for like,
got
you know,
it.
the district teacher of the year. And so, you know, you write some essays, and I was interviewed by some community members in Grandview, and I thought for sure I wasn't going to win for the district because, well, one, my friend won last year for the district. And I was like, they're not going to give it to another high school teacher. We, you know, we're so cynical. Like they'll never give it to us. And so I was really surprised to get it from the district. And then there's a whole nother set of questions. And so then that's when DESE, so Missouri Department of Education, each branch, and we're in like, you know, the Kansas City region, has you write three different essays about different things that you've accomplished in your classroom and different things that you've done that are maybe innovative and things like that. And so that's where I had the chance to talk about, you know, launching the broadcasting program at Grandview High School. And then also my, you know, the only Kansas City history class in the entire region. So that probably sold them on me.
For those of you listening and you're like, okay, I recognize her voice. Diane, you've been on our show so many times, and I've said this again and again, you are one of the only people that I've ever met that makes history so incredibly fascinating. Local history and beyond, the stories that you know and have researched and have written about in our town. If you have not found Diane's work, please go seek it out because you educate in a fun way.
That's the thing. I mean, I think that, and I'm a, you know, I teach English and I teach the Kansas City history class and I teach broadcasting. And I always believe you can get the kids if you just teach it right. Right. Like, so I'm not going to shove a bunch of dates and times down your throat, but I'm going to take you places and I'm going to show you things and I'm going to tell stories in a relatable way. And that's exactly what I do with the Martin City Telegraph and writing for them, is that I just want to make sure that everything is relatable and fun. If you teach people in a fun way, people want to know the layers of history that are around us. And so I hope I inspire. I kind of feel like I teach all of Kansas City in a way, you know,
yeah.
my articles and stuff like that, which is really a blessing because so often teachers, you know, are kind of isolated to their classrooms. So I've been able to share kind of my crazy, useless knowledge of Kansas City to all of you, including on your show.
Well, it makes us happy, and this is so well-deserved. And when will you find out? Because you're now the regional teacher of the year. You now advance to the Missouri teacher of the year. How long does this go on?
Well, there's another selection process. I feel like I haven't looked at it because I'm kind of,
sure.
It's like, this is great. We can just stop right here.
Right.
This is fine.
We're good.
Thank you. Accolades. I'm good. But I believe, so there's a group of regional teachers from each category around the state that advance, which is, I'm in that group,
yeah,
that advances to the state. And then the state obviously has a whole other selection process. I think there's also like a chance to maybe edit your answers or whatever that you had originally submitted. There's something like that. But we, you know, Kansas City's kind of rocked it because, you know, I don't know if you realize that the state Missouri State Teacher of the Year came out of Hickman Mills last year. So she is a high school teacher. And so, yeah, so we're doing pretty well on the Kansas City, Missouri side of things.
You are rocking and rolling, my friend.
Keep the rain.
Well, listen, you enjoy the rest of your vacation. Very, very well deserved. And congratulations on behalf of all of us here at Dana and Parks and our wider listening audience for all that you contribute to our show. And let us know what you hear because we're going to be rooting for you.
I appreciate it, Dana. Thank you so much.
Be well, my friend.
See ya.
So listen to this, Sam. Selected by a regional committee of educators, Ms. Houston was recognized as an exceptional teacher, role model, and champion for student success. Through her work in both history and broadcasting, she inspires students to think critically, tell meaningful stories, and find their voice. And this is what the district put out today.
Yeah, I love it.
Her passion for education, commitment to excellence, and dedication to building strong relationships with students have made a lasting impact on the Grandview C4 community.
It's a rare feat to be able to get a teacher who is so heavily involved in what she is teaching. You know, you go back to some of your college courses, and for me, I had a couple of radio classes that were taught by people who hadn't been in radio for 35 years. To have what Diane has and her knowledge of Kansas City and the work that she does on documentaries and the fact that she can take that real world experience and kind of mold that into a classroom setting is probably what helps make her classes so intriguing and what makes her so deserving of this recognition.
So exciting. It is so exciting. We'll keep you posted on how that turns out. Listen to this. At what age would you, regardless of how much you love your job, what age would you like to stop working? Because this story it's an outlier and it's inspiring, but it's crazy.
What age am I going to die?
I know you would say that, Sam. A Chick-fil-A employee says it is his pleasure to keep working at 92 years old. While many people retire in their 60s, retirement is not in the vocabulary of 92-year-old Gilbert Martin. Martin, affectionately known as Mr. Gill, has been working at a Chick-fil-A in Wilmington, North Carolina for 6 years. He's a dining host. I make sure the tables are clean. The floor is clean, he says. But the main thing I take care of is people. Martin previously worked in the natural gas industry for decades professionally. When he retired, he worked at Sam's Club for over 12 years as a greeter until they eliminated that position. And after 2 months, he says, I got bored. So I put in an application at Chick-fil-A. He says, if you enjoy what you're doing, it's not work. I look forward to coming in. This is one of those guys that customers even notice when he's gone.
Oh, yeah. Like, hey, what happened to him? I love, by the way, that Chick-fil-A hired him at 87. Good for that Chick-fil-A management. That is awesome.
He says, I get a lot of people that are coming in here. Maybe they've just been to the doctor. They got bad news. I'm able to be an encourager. The Lord gave me that. We salute Mr. Gill. 92-year-old Gilbert Martin, still working at a job he loves. Yeah. And may we all be so lucky. Congratulations again to Diane Houston.
There's some theories about, you know, once you stop that grind, you decline very quickly.
Yep.
It could be that he is so healthy at 93 because he refuses to slow down.
Amen.
And I saw a story a while back, and I can't remember the finite details of it, but it was a situation where a young woman saw an elderly woman working. She was in her late 80s and started up a GoFundMe to help her retire.
Yeah.
And raised like $140,000 and presented it to the lady. And the lady was like,
I don't need money.
I like
I need
working.
I need purpose when I get up in the morning. I need purpose, people.
I'll take the money, but I'll be here tomorrow and working. Thanks.
All right. Speaking of money, debit or credit? I told you guys about this earlier. How many times in a week would you guess you hear that? Debit or credit? Experts say you should never choose one of those choices at least 5 different places. And I'm going to tell you why straight ahead on Dana and Parks. Stick with us. I'm going to be honest. I don't really think about it much when a cashier says credit or debit, and I know that I should. I usually go, whatever.
Yeah.
And this next story is going to make you think twice about that. What do you choose? Do you choose credit or debit? And when you do that, do you have a reason for it? Or is it just whatever?
Oh, there's a reason.
Listen to this story. Experts say you should never choose debit at these five places. And then I'm going to ask you something else, Sam, because you worked in retail for such a long time. What does it really matter? I understand debit comes directly out of your bank account. Is credit easier to dispute if
yes.
something happens?
So as a business owner, and I could be wrong here, business owner, so correct me, but I think as a business owner, you would prefer that people just use debit because
yeah.
then it goes straight into the account right away.
Yeah.
With credit, there is typically some sort of hold. So one, it's easier to dispute. If you have a true credit card, you can go straight to the credit card company and dispute
yeah.
any charge on that card. And they will, from the front end, deal with that rather than if you use a debit
Got
card,
it.
You have to deal with it on the back end. I do know in the gas station setting, very particular just for gas stations, if you go in and you pay with debit, you have to go back in and get the change. So if you prepay at the register with debit, you have to go back in and get the change. If you prepay with credit, it just goes back on the card because of that hold.
Okay. I see what you're saying.
But that's only for gas stations. But it's about the hold. It's about the ability to claw back those funds if there was any impropriety going on.
Okay.
Again, but from a business standpoint, I think people would prefer debit.
Well, from a consumer standpoint, I think we're going to have to talk this out. It says, debit or credit, experts say you should never use a debit card at these five places. Picture this. A parent signs their child up for summer camp and puts $1,300 in deposit money on their credit card. A few days later, they notice the rec center charged them twice. One tap in your card app will dispute that, and the extra $1,300 charge goes away. Had they used their debit card, the second $1,300 would have come straight out of their checking account, the one they used to pay rent and bills. And that's one of the key differences, credit versus debit. Here's what they're saying. At the checkout, those two pieces of plastic feel identical, but the safety net behind them isn't even close. I did not know this. With credit cards, federal law caps your liability for unauthorized credit charges at $50. And many issuers even waive that. I'm going to say that again. Federal law caps your liability for unauthorized credit card charges at $50.
And I have never heard of a credit card company that actually charges you that $50.
Nope.
Bucks. As you mentioned, they all just fight for
there
it.
There is one exception. If you report that your card was stolen more than 2 days after it was stolen, your liability jumps to $500 or your entire balance after 60 days. So that's why if you lose your wallet and you're not even sure. You're not even sure you've lost it, but you don't know where it is. Is it in the car? Is it in the house? When they say, do you want to put a hold on your card? Always err on the side of yes. If you don't know, err on the side of shutting it down, right? So here are the five places they are saying, say no to debit. And Sam, the gas station and convenience store comes in at number one.
Oh, yeah.
Gas pumps are prime hunting grounds for card skimmers. Those tiny hidden devices that grab your card and the info in it the moment you swipe. The FBI estimates that the skimming costs consumers and financial institutions more than $1 billion a year. Okay? They're saying use credit, not debit, at the gas station. Number two, when booking travel, debit cards are a horrible choice for flights, hotels, or rental cars. Credit cards simply do too much for travelers to pass up. And here's why this is a no-brainer. The built-in protections we talk about. You could get rewards points back, although I'm terrible at keeping track of those. Jamie Monticelli is really good at it. And you get some extra perks like the TSA pre-check or those fancy little rooms that you can go hang out in. Another small convenience with a debit card, hotels and rental agencies usually place holds on your card. And those holds can sit for several days, even after checkout.
And for a lot of people,
it locks you up, basically out of your own money.
Well, we'll get people that I still work there. I used to get people that, you know, they are maybe have $20 in their account to get gas. And they go to the gas pump and they charge it as credit. And it puts that $100 hold on there. And all of a sudden...
Oh, that's right.
They're now, what's the term? Overdraft?
Overdraft? Yeah.
They're now overdrafted on their debit account, and they have to wait 3-4 days for that to clear up. Yeah.
Always use debit at...
Credit.
Credit at the gas station.
And I've heard people, financial advisors say always use credit, period. And thank you for bringing this up today, because you're now re-inspiring me to go get a credit card.
Do it. Number three. So we've hit... Gas stations, no debit card. We've hit travel, hotel flights, all of that stuff. Number three, shopping online. Sketchy websites are everywhere. We know this. Even legitimate sites get hacked. It is always a bigger risk to input your debit card number anywhere when you are shopping online. Consider what can happen when someone pays on a sketchy-looking discount site with a debit card. Once the card number is compromised, fraudulent charges may pile up before you notice a thing. It says, yes, the bank may eventually refund your money, but your account would be frozen during the investigation. No one wants to deal with that, okay? The data points in the same way. Among 2025 fraud reports where people paid by debit card, nearly half involved online shopping, the single biggest category. With debit cards, your real money disappears until the bank sorts out any fraud dispute. And then number four comes in. This is interesting. Buying big ticket items. Sometimes an expensive purchase breaks in month 13, right after the 12-month warranty expires. That's one reason why big purchases make more sense going on a credit card, if they can be paid off when the bill comes due. Many cards extend the manufacturer's warranty by an extra year, so a defect that shows up late isn't automatically on you. There is also theft and damage protection when you buy big ticket items through a credit card. I've never thought about this, but when you go into, buy a car, can you plop that down on your Amex?
I think you could certainly do the down payment on an Amex, yeah.
I mean, you'd have a huge surcharge, probably.
I wouldn't advise doing that.
Right?
That sounds like a bad idea.
And then number five, sorry, because this is involving local business owners, it says bars and restaurants. Let's say you're out at a new trendy joint for happy hour, you hand over your debit card. We do this all the time. It is saying use a credit card. And yep. I think 99.99999% of servers and businesses, they are all good people just trying to make a living. But if there's one out there that is out there to skim or steal from you, it is a lot easier to sort that out when you use a credit card instead of handing over your debit card.
So the bottom line is use the credit card so you have more protections as a consumer. The business owner is always going to want you to use debit just because it costs them less. It's pennies to charge a credit card for the business owner. And if they run debit card.
Yeah.
And if they run a credit card, it's 2-3% of the transaction.
Well, listen to this. I want to remind everybody, and the phones are ringing. If you want to weigh in on this, we'll certainly take calls after the break. 913-586-7798. Your liability for unauthorized credit charges is capped at $50. So even if you're using your debit card, keep in mind, they're saying when they ask you, credit or debit, choose credit. And if you disagree, you can certainly call in and tell us why. 913-586-7798. You're listening to Dana and Parks. There are actually entire charts dedicated to when you should choose debit or when you should choose credit. And I want to be clear, choosing credit doesn't automatically mean we're talking about a credit card like an Amex. Choosing credit could also mean you're just choosing the credit option on your bank card.
Which you can do, yes.
913-586-7798. Let's go to Steven in Independence. Hi, Steven.
Hey, good afternoon, guys. How y'all going?
Good. Go ahead.
First, I want to send love to Mr. Parks. I've been thinking about him. I feel for him. I was there before, and I know what he's going through, and it didn't take one rehab. It took about seven. So,
oh, bless your heart, Stephen.
Keep on rocking.
Okay.
All right. Hey, so by getting clean, I'm now able to have credit, and I have two credit cards I use all the time, one for Costco, one for everything else. They give me money back to use my card, and it's protected. I get free miles. I get free status. I get free lounges. And it is so much safer because how many times have I been on the internet and I've charged something and come back, it's coming from China, it's fraud, it's scam, and I don't lose my money. Whereas I could have lost thousands of dollars because I bought something from a site that I thought it was from America.
Stephen,
but it was coming from overseas and it was false.
How fiscally disciplined are you if that is the way you handle your finances? And I'm guessing you are extremely fiscally disciplined.
I know what's on my card every day because I check it every day. I know it's in my account because I check my bank account every month and I pay it right off.
Yeah.
And I have an 800, and now I have an 800 credit score. Whereas before, I don't think I've been registered. I think it was like at 400.
So, that's pretty low, you know. Stephen. But 800 is amazing. Amazing. Thank you for the call. 913-586-7798. Yes, if you're going to use a credit card, you have to pay it off every month if you want to be disciplined and get that 800 credit score. Greg from Whiteman Air Force Base. Hi, Greg. Go ahead.
Hey fellow golfer. How are you?
So good.
Yes, I purchased a car last year, and I was allowed to put $4,800 on my credit card. No fees. Got a nice little buttload of airline miles. Paid it off at the end of the month, and good to go.
That's a great idea, actually. Was that your card's limit? Was the $4,800, or was it like the dealership limit?
That was the dealership's max.
Interesting.
I don't know how they set that figure, but yes, that was their max. And then so we took it all, and then, like I said, paid it off at the end of the month, and good to go, and no problems. And I also have an 800 credit score.
Good for you, Greg. Good for you.
All right, have a great one.
You too. Thank you for the call. Let's go to John in Topeka. Hey, John.
Hey, Dana. Because I like listening to the radio and I like 98.1, on the weekends, there's a show called Kim Commando Show.
Oh.
And she's talked about this before, years ago, about how you should use credit all you can because it gives you so much more protection than the debit card function. And because skimmers and scammers, they're located at the point of sale.
Yeah.
You know, you put your card in and it'll get you. They have found places where they can grab the entire batches, like off a satellite dish or tapping in the phone, because some stores will ship everything in a batch and they'll steal everything from the store. And then you're protected because if it's credit card, if they steal the batch of information, then you're protected. But if it's debit card, then they have a direct access to your checking account or savings account. And if they are located out of the country, you've lost your money and you never see it come back to you sometimes.
It's a great point, John. Thank you for it. You guys that are bringing up the rewards, I wish I had the time to really investigate all of that. You know, I used to follow the points guy on social. That entire thing was how you can maximize your finances with the appropriate use of a credit card, whether that's airlines or a big purchase or, you know, in my younger days, I would do that. I would put something on the credit card and then I would get paid and I'd be like, I'll just pay a little bit of it off. I've gotten way better at that today. I have zero credit card debt.
Good.
Zero credit card debt. For the first time in the last 2 years, I've had zero credit card debt.
I am literally applying for my first credit card right now.
But you, Sam, you do need it as a function of daily life.
I have a zero credit score. So the guy who said he's got a 400, good for you, brother.
You've got that beat.
I got a zero. It doesn't exist.
Speaking of...
When I apply for a credit card, they go,
who? Who are you? Are you off the grid? Uh-huh. Are you in witness protection?
Up until now, I have been.
Speaking of car loans, they could get brutally expensive coming up. And I think you guys understand how interest rates work, but this is from Fox 4. Car loans could get brutally expensive just when many buyers were hoping for or expecting relief. As you know, the Federal Reserve did not raise interest rates at its June meeting. That matters because the easy headline would be wrong. What changed is the outlook. Instead of clearly pointing toward cheaper money in 2026, policymakers are now leaving the door open to higher rates if inflation refuses to cool. And if you are in the market for a car right now, they say that is not some abstract Wall Street concern. It lands directly in your monthly payment. Most Americans, they write, do not experience a new vehicle as the sticker price. Most of us experience it as the monthly payment. And this is the example they give. $700, $800, $900, or even $1,000 a month plus insurance, fuel, repairs, registration, the occasional tire bill, all of those things. This is crazy to me. Edmund says the average amount financed for a new vehicle reached $43,800 in the first quarter of 2026. The average monthly car payment is now $773.
Oh my God, that's just
horrible. One in five financed new car buyers is carrying a payment of $1,000 or more. That's just the car payment, you guys. Just the car payment is $1,000 or more. That is before considering the cost of insurance, which is really expensive, as we know. Cox Automotive has also shown that for the first time in America, the average new vehicle transaction price is just under $50,000. That means, car buyers, you are not just financing a car right now. You are financing a lifestyle decision that will follow you around for years. And because of that, they are starting to see this. Long-term loans are becoming more tempting. Stretching a loan to 84 months or higher, if some will allow it, will make that monthly number look a little more palatable. The problem is, as you know, that really raises the total interest that you are going to pay over the long term. And I'm telling you, we just sold my daughter's car. And one of the things I said to her when we sold that beloved car, because she's moving, as you all know, and that car was not going to be appropriate on the East Coast, I said, we have to find you a car for the exact same amount that we are selling your car. Because of all the things in the world I don't need right now, a car payment is one of them.
Oh, yeah.
I said, we are going to sell your car for X amount of dollars. And then, Sam, I found a car. And the differential, when I went down to pay property taxes on it, I think I ended up owing $70.
Nice. Good
and
for you.
Now is the time to do that. I still have my car payment. It's way lower than the numbers that they talked about in that story. $1,000 car. But then you look at the price of some new trucks. Oh, my gosh.
I'm doomed, by the way.
$80,000, $100,000 for a truck.
I'm doomed.
Well, your truck's got 200,000 miles on it, still running fine.
275,000. No, I just literally applied for a credit card while you were reading that story.
Did they say no?
From my own bank and got denied.
Okay, so let me just tell you.
I'm doomed. How do I get a credit card?
Let me just tell you. This is what you have to do. You physically have to go into your bank like old man Parks. Take one of those little mints that's been sitting up there at the counter for 7 years. Meet with a lender. And just say, they're going to say, are you here to buy a home? Can we help? And you're going to go, no, I need you to help me get my first credit card. I've never had it. These are my bills. I've always paid my bills on time. I'm debt free, but I cannot get a credit card. And we've watched Sam struggle with this for 2-3 years.
I'm now 0-5, by the way.
You are 0-5 in trying to get a credit card because he has no credit score history.
And it's not like I have bad debt. I've never had debt in my life.
You just have never had a credit card. So even if you could somehow open like a Macy's card, put $80 on it, and then pay off $80, you would be fine. But you don't have that. So how do you get it when you don't have it and you need it to have it?
I don't know. I don't know. I'm at a loss.
Do you want me to reach out to my friends at UMP Private Wealth?
We'll see. 913-586-7798.
We got to help Sam out. We're back with much more on Dana and Parks after this.
Thank you to everybody who called in to help me out with my conundrum. I've gotten everything from get a secured loan to put your truck up against your card. I don't even know how to do that. And a bunch of people pointed out one company. I'll try that company. Otherwise, I will be walking into Commerce Bank tomorrow morning. Oh, sorry.
Well, there it is.
The bank that I have.
I think you should walk in and physically speak to someone at your bank.
Yeah.
And you know what? They are so happy to help you when you do walk in, because outside of Scott Parks, every once in a while, and armed bank robbers, they don't really see that many people.
Yeah, not
in the
all.
Vestibule,
yeah.
Sam.
Yeah.
If you will.
Yeah.
The vestibule.
We'll be addressing that tomorrow morning.
We are going to see a lawsuit with this 76-year-old woman, sadly, who lost her life as a Tesla, reportedly on autopilot, crashed through a home in Texas. It happened Friday night. The driver is identified as Michael Butler. He was traveling east in a Tesla Model 3 around 8 p.m. when the car crashed through a brick home in the Houston suburb of Katy. The car sadly struck a 76-year-old woman inside, Martha Avila, who was in the home. She was airlifted to a hospital where she was pronounced dead. Butler told authorities the car was in self-driving mode at the time of the crash. They say he showed no signs of intoxication.
Good.
And has been cooperative during the investigation. However, at this time, investigators have found no evidence of a mechanical malfunction. Sheriff's officials say it is important to note the investigation isn't complete. Once all the evidence has been gathered, they will hand it off to the DA's office. Here's my radar's up on this one a little bit, and here's why.
Because it's a Tesla?
No, but I will defend the appropriate use of the self-driving choice that you have in those cars. Does the autopilot work 100% of the time when you are coming up on a construction zone, or you like the lane is ending and the car wants you to move to the right? I would say for me, it works very, very well 99.5% of the time. What it's hard for me to see is how the car would just veer so completely off a roadway and go careening into a house. Number one, I have never seen any scenario under which the self-driving mode is just going to careen you into a building.
Right.
It just doesn't happen. Number two, you have the ability to overtake that self-drive within 1/1,000,000th of a second, and all you have to do is touch the brake or the steering wheel. That's all you have to do. Go on the steering wheel or touch the brake, so that if something happens that isn't safe, or, you know, even if you see like a dog dart out in the middle of the roadway and the car for some reason doesn't see it, that's why you got to have your hands on the 10 and the 2 anyway.
So
he would have been able to stop this car, Sam, is what I'm saying.
First thing that you mentioned was, does autopilot ever fail? Autopilot fails all the time because it's not autopilot. It's not self-drive.
It is not. It is absolutely not.
Assist.
Biggest mistake they made was calling it autopilot.
Secondly, this individual, this family who's seeking answers, and this guy who was behind the wheel are going to have an uphill battle, because the net worth of one Elon Musk, probably hundreds of billions of dollars of that net worth, is solely reliant on whether or not this technology works. I bet you that Tesla already knows whether or not that car was in autopilot.
Oh, I'm sure.
I guarantee you they could send that report to the police department right now. If it was, do you think they're going to do it and say, well, sorry, it's not working?
The other question I have about this, Sam, is that the car was said to be traveling at speeds as high as 70 miles an hour. And I'm looking at this home. It looks like this home is in a highly residential neighborhood. Highly residential neighborhood. I don't know what the speed limit would have been in that neighborhood. It wouldn't have been 70 miles an hour. And again, there's going to have to be personal responsibility woven into these tragedies when we talk about it. He should never have been driving 70 miles an hour.
Yeah.
Take the autopilot out of it. I was coming down a hill today, and it went from 35 miles an hour, because I was coming down the hill, to 40. Guess what? I tapped the brake. I took it off autopilot, and I recorrected it to drive the speed limit at 35. You know why? I don't want to get a ticket.
Yeah.
You have every opportunity, any moment of any time, to stop that technology. And now, I would question why he did not.
The speed part is confusing because if he was in a 25 mile an hour zone and it really were on self-drive mode, naturally it knows the speed limit in the area. It should drive that speed limit. So how did it get up to 70 miles an hour? But I was thinking if this were a situation where maybe there was a parkway or a highway nearby, it's not necessarily that the car took itself into that home. If there were a highway nearby and it kind of veered off of that highway a little bit,
he says he hit a curb. Now yep. You have a missile.
Exactly. Now you have a multi-1,000-pound missile that is out of your control, and gravity is the only thing that's going to stop it.
So why are you in the driver's seat of a car that is careening 60 to 70 miles an hour? I mean, we have to talk about the responsibility of the driver here when we talk about these stories.
Yeah, I hear you.
913-586-7798. You are listening to Dana and Parks. We are back with much more straight ahead.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.